Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in your people. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing in your vessels. Thank you, Jesus, that it's your word that truly we're changing from glory to glory into your image. Lord, thank you, God, that it's not in all the wood, hay, and stubble, but you're into the just the few, the gold, silver, and precious stone. Lord, help us to stay with the stuff. God, help us not to depart from it. Lord, give us an ear, give us a heart, give us a desire, give us a vision for only you. Lord, let us just draw nigh in full assurance of faith, believing today that, Lord, you'll make the way, because you are the way. That old mountain be removed, and it'll be removed. And God, let all of us, Lord, calling those things which be not as though they were. Lord, let us not just stand on the promises of God, but let us rejoice and praise and give you thanks, God, for your word is true. Your word is true. And thank you, if you be for us, who could be against us? And thank you, Lord, we'll suffer a little while, and then, oh my, the glory that shall be revealed in us. Thank you, Lord, that it's all you. It is all you. And we love you, Jesus, because you first loved us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to Ephesians today, and we'll be in the third chapter. I'm thanking God again for the rejoicing that we have in Paul's epistle. And here in the third chapter, we'll begin reading from the 13th verse, one of the precious prayers the Holy Ghost so welled up in Paul to bring forth the heart and desire of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in the heart of one who yields to it will not only be for their life, but will be for the whole body of Christ. Paul says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." And always remember that word dwell means to settle down in marriage. That faith of Christ would get you to settle down in marriage in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And oh, how we need to know that it is him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Amen. Because what Paul, by the Spirit, just prayed for us to know, you know that that's so far beyond to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ. It has to be him. Amen. Praise God. So here we are, and this is what we're going to dwell in today, is to know the love of Christ. And since we know that God is love, I believe we are encouraged here with absolute assurance to be filled with all the fullness of God, you must and I must know the love of Christ. Amen? Amen. We must know the love of Christ. Here it is. This gives us that mark for the prize, the very heart of his Son, the very heart of God, to know the love of Christ. And the reason this is so imperative to it all is the meaning of that word know. The meaning of know. The word know is so much more than understanding or so much more than just to perceive. This word know here means to know in the most intimate of meanings of to know. And we're going to get right at it. A lot of people get uncomfortable when you talk about things like this. It may cause you to blush. You may think, oh my goodness, how could that be there in the Word of God? But this word know, that's right, it means sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. It's exactly what it means. Maybe even better said, it's the sexual intercourse between a husband and a wife. Paul is not beating around the bush here. And the reason is, brothers and sisters, this is the mark, but it's also that there is little time. We must get to the height of it all, and we must get there very quickly and quit messing around, because I have news for you. Your life is but a vapor, isn't it? Amen. And more importantly, Jesus is coming. Amen. So we thank God for this. So the question here today that's before us is, do we really know? Do we really believe? Do we really rejoice? Do we really have this joy in our hearts of knowing the intimacy of the love of God like this? You're awful quiet. Got you contemplating a little bit, doesn't he? Huh? See, this isn't just for sisters, brothers. This is for the brothers, brothers. And for the sisters, sisters. But he wants us to enter into this. Because, see, this is what a human in that precious type of what the Lord has given us can really comprehend. It's the greatest of relationships there could ever be. You know, in studying this and encouraged in this in my heart. See, if we would just take the things that God has ordained in life and in nature and things of that nature. If we would really know the truth, you'll see it come to pass in these things. When you really rejoice in the depth of Paul's gospel and really rejoice in the depths of the bridal message, your marriage or the marriage you'll enter into will be the most glorious thing to you, because you'll realize that that is the glorious type, the height of what Christ wants us to be with him. And there'll be an honor to your marriage. There'll be a joy to that marriage. There'll be an encouragement, a testimony to you in that marriage. That, Lord, this is so beautiful and so wonderful, and I can give you a good report that I thank God for my marriage. I thank God for my helpmate. I thank God for my glory. And I'm telling you, and I know this will embarrass her, but she's so beautiful. She's my glory. I thank God he has given me someone so beautiful. And that sister sang, let me see what I am to you. Do you know how beautiful you are to the Lord? Do you know as you feast upon this message of the bridal message, how ravished he is that you would receive this of him? Well, I pray you do. But see, this is where, do you read the Song of Solomon? Does this encouragement of knowing that love, is it yours? Do you see him by the grace of God today? And I do. As this message comes forth, as that oneness, I see him over there behind the lattice peeking. Oh, I don't want her to see me, but I see her. Come on now. Don't grow too old in that. You better have the young roe heart of the lover, or you're going to miss this. You're going to sit there so stoic in your knowledge of, well, I know truth. No, you don't. Well, you don't know love. Love doesn't stop pitter-patting in your heart. Love's got that thumper love going all the time. Serious. And that's really, praise be to God. They're joyous. Preached on it many times. You look through that window, as that king looked through that window, he was taken, that was so something there, Abraham and Sarah, he got afraid for his own life. Oh, Sarah, don't, you know, they're going to desire you, you're so beautiful, so when we come in there, just tell them you're my sister. Well, that king desired her, just like Abraham feared, and he took her, and that king knew real quick, this ain't working. This ain't his sister. And he looked through that window and he saw them having a happy time together and said, them's married. See, isn't that something? We have such a different perception of marriage today. Ball and chain. You know, that ain't marriage. That ain't God's marriage. God's marriage is through that window and they're happy and they laugh and they have joy and they rejoice. Because you know what these people didn't have at that time? They didn't have big cars and big mortgage payments. Trying to keep up with this and that. And my kids got to be this and that. I'm beginning to really get it. I just want everything in my life, and especially my children. I just want steps towards the truth. I want them to be better men of God that love God. That have people around them that they... fellowship with people that love the Lord. Let me tell you something. Anything you do in life is going to be an after effect of what you're yielding to. Do you know that? That's what it is. You think you're going after something to be something. No, it's just because you're, if that's your idol, you're yielding to the what the enemy's call is. You go after God and you yield to Him, the after effects of that will be the very perfect, complete, and all the will of God. He'll have you doing exactly what He wants you to be occupying in, and you'll be ready for Him when He comes. Praise God. Let's know Him like this. But see, this is the intimacy that we need to see. Is the Song of Solomon that intimate and personal to you? Does jointly ruling and reigning and glorified together with Jesus Christ give the vision of you? Give the vision of you by the grace of God being His queen, His wife, Jesus' bride, the love, the dove, the fair one that will arise and come away with Him. Is that just poetry? Is that just a fluffy verse? Or is that the call that you hear today? He that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen? I don't have to force myself to hear. It's just let me hear it because it's there. This call has gone forth. Do you know Paul's gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven? Paul's gospel. Amen? He's no respecter of person. God showed me this so sweetly. Brother Bill putting that message out there on the internet. I hear from these little kooky sisters in Sweden, some goofy ones in England. Close to you, John. And all over. Because he that hath an ear is going to hear. But you got something you're hearing today that's far more important than being the bride of Christ, huh? Far more important than ruling and reigning jointly with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. I know what you got is far more high and deep and wide and lovely than that. Oh God, help us to put things in perspective, huh? Where are you seated, Christian? You really think you're seated in a pew? Or do you know that you're seated in the heavens in Christ right now? God help you to start seeing where you're seated. You know, I've been to people like that. You know, I go to a game or something like that, and I got a good seat, and I can see these things. Sometimes somebody just sits down, kind of looking around, and, oh, I wish I had a better seat.
They don't even know what's going on because they're not looking from where they're seated. They're messing around with what they think that they're dissatisfied with. You sure you want me back? And we're pressing on. But I'll tell you what, this is what he wants us to hear. And we need to understand, this is Paul, and he's writing to the Philadelphia saints in Ephesus. He's writing this to the Philadelphia saints that are in Ephesus. These are fully purposed ones that are following Paul as he followed Christ. And he's telling them, you need to know the love of Christ. You need to occupy in that knowledge. You need to stay in it if we are going to really rule and reign and be glorified together with him. Amen? Oh, yeah. See, I'm just telling you, you know, people get married and then they don't appreciate their marriage. Don't appreciate what they have. They get lost in all of the other stuff. Every time these couples come in to get married, I always tell them this. First thing I tell them, don't ever forget the reason that you're here today. Because you love one another. It's love. It's not about the other stuff. It's about because you're so passionately in love with one another that you can't stand to be apart. That you want to be together. That life, you just want to grow in that oneness that God will make you in that life. And this is exactly what Paul is telling us in going on with the Lord. Don't ever forget what it's all about. It's about the love of God. See, we can grow in this truth, but see, knowledge by itself, it'll just puff up. But love edifies. Love encourages people. People know when you're in love with Jesus. See, I don't want people to just say, oh man, that guy knows a lot of Bible. I want people to say, man, that guy knows that Jesus loves him. That guy knows that Jesus adores him. What's wrong with that guy? Doesn't that guy know who he is? Yes, in Christ. That's all I want to know because that's who I am. I'm brand new. Old things, they're all passed away. All things have been made new. And I want to remind you of that. I don't want to be one that reminds you of those old things. And you need to get away from people that do that. You need to pray for you first that you love them. But you don't hang around that stuff. That'll just hurt you. So, now, his prayer for them through the Holy Ghost was to know the love of Christ. It's the pinnacle of it all is his love for us. You think about this. This was the desire of the Godhead before the foundation of the world. Did you hear that? Before they set stars in heaven, before God spoke all of this, this was the desire that was set forth before the foundation of the earth. The Father, the joy that the Father had and the Son had together, that it was not good for man to live alone. Now, in a way, yes, he meant that for Adam, but in truth and in the height of it, he was rejoicing with his son Jesus. It's not good for you, son, to be alone, and you are going to have a wife, just like the Father has a wife, who is and always will be Israel. So remember that. Father's not going to be lonely. He's going to have Israel, praise God. They've been unfaithful right now, but I'll tell you what, the word of God is true, and that Israel is going to be a faithful wife again. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Hallelujah. I always think about that going out through the millennium, and there they all are preaching Jesus. Oh, it's going to be because the word says it's going to be. That's what's so beautiful. And that's why we need to pray, and thanks be to God that we can come into that wonderful enlightenment of understanding. But you think about how God's been good to us here, and as of late in our Bible study, the truth and the reality of this in the study of John. Remember in chapter 4, verse 23, it says, but the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers, and remember this, brothers and sisters, it's so important. That word worship is to draw nigh in fervent love as to kiss. Did you hear that? If there's something really to ever really memorize in a lot of ways when you pray, Lord, it is. It's to draw nigh, and fervent love is to kiss you. That's the true worshiper. That's the one that's sincere. So the hour comes and now is when those true lovers of him shall worship. See, the true worshipers who draw nigh in fervent love to kiss, shall draw nigh in fervent love to kiss the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Three times in there, the word worship. Isn't that amazing? Do you see how much love by the grace of God, when we receive the grace of God, we bring to the Godhead? That's a lot of love. That's a lot of joy. That's a lot of rejoicing. Oh, praise be to God. This is wonderful stuff. But see, that's the Father. That's who he's seeking, is that true worshiper, that true lover. See, this isn't going to be some half-hearted lover. This isn't going to be a fiance that's distracted with all of the things getting ready for the wedding. Well, what's my ring look like? Is the stone big enough? Did he say that? How's my invitations look? I understand this, but let's be about what it's all about. It's about getting married. See, the Father, let me tell you something. He's going to make sure this is going to be the perfect one for his son. The bride for Jesus is going to be the one that completes him. The bride for Jesus is going to be the one that glorifies him alone. Amen. This is beautiful stuff. See, that's why it's not the sincere worker, or the sincere doer, or the sincere servant, but it's the sincere worshiper, the devoted, ravished lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And see, sweet John, who wrote the Holy Ghost wrote it, but through John, who again was used, his hand was used to write the book of John, for what he could see, wasn't it sweet how he always referred to himself? The disciple that Jesus loved. See, he knew that's what it was all about. He knew that was what made him anything and everything. It wasn't John the disciple who Jesus loved. It was the disciple who Jesus loved. Amen? That's your identity. That's your value. The value of very God, that he loves you. He adores you. And I am so thankful that I am the vessel that Jesus loves. Amen. That satisfies everything to me. Praise be to God. So see, brothers and sisters, even the words that were finally spoken to Peter, Jesus' last words to him. What did he say to him? Peter, divinely or agapha, love me, Peter. Don't just love me as a friend. Divinely love me. I want, Peter, you to love me as I love you. You ever want to be in a relationship that's one-sided? Huh? Come on now. Getting married, let's talk about the height of it. Well, I'm just head over heels for her. But she's still calling her old boyfriends. What's up with that? I better stop. But you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? You see what God's saying? See, brothers and sisters, this is someone who's all about him. This is someone who is ravished by him. Hallelujah. But see, this was vital. See, the importance of knowing the love of God so we can love him as he loves us. That we would, praise God, abound and grow up fully in the knowledge of his love. The knowledge of the mystery of his love, the bridegroom's love, the love wherewith we were loved in ages past. That was the love that was waiting. I thank Jesus for this. See, Jesus longed for us to be here. Do you know that? He did. He longed for this time. He longed for this church age. That time that began at Pentecost. And again, that is why he gave us the Holy Ghost. Love shed abroad. Love gushing like a geyser. Love in such immensity that we could be a readied wife for Jesus. Amen? Yeah, as you grow up, isn't that really? Don't you want to have that height even of our natural love? You think about that. You want to be loved with that love. It's just what it is. God made us innately that way. He typed this in our lives to encourage us as if we would grow in this to say, well, Lord, I see this testimony to me all over the place. Praise the Lord. It's a good thing. It's just like when we started today, this word knowledge, this, yes, it's the sexual intercourse between a husband and wife. See, if we really acknowledge that and understand that in the things of God, we'll begin to honor our bodies to the Lord. See, it all comes from the truth. It doesn't come from my willpower. It doesn't come from my efforts. And I'm thankful to God I had a mom that said, son, just fall in love with him. Fall in love with him. Well, here he is. He's the Word. You can think about falling in love with Jesus, but you'll never fall in love with him until you know him. Until you know him in the Scriptures and you know him in truth. Then you'll fall in love with him. And when you fall in love, I mean really fall in love, you want to honor the other one. You want to please them. You want to do anything and everything you could by the grace of God, not because of duty, but because of love. Love causes you to do and to be the person you could never be. And I mean that. I've told you honestly. My brothers, especially my brother Jim, used to tease me all the time. You don't do a thing. Mother does everything for you. I can't even tell you what he told me she does for me. But picking up my room, cooking out all this stuff and everything. And I didn't mean to take advantage of it, but she loved me. So I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to clean. I never washed a dish. I'm just confessing. But then I got married. And you can ask my sweet wife. And it's not because I'm looking, oh, this is great. Look at me and that type of thing. I don't want to, actually, when she's in there, I just want to be with her. Bothering her, kind of like Stacy. Irritating. That's why they used to call me fungus. And it's true. So I'd stick to you. And that's just the way it is. Amen? But my goodness, what's that guy doing in there washing dishes? Honey, let me do the wash. No, don't do that. You'll mess it up. And I have before. But it was the thought that counted. I wanted to help. I wanted to do something. And why? Because of love. That's it. And there it is again, isn't it? The testimony over and over. The simplicity, the beauty, the intensity, the immensity of how he loves us. He testifies through us in everything. And he's testifying to you so sweetly. And I love you, honey. I love you. There's no difference. I've set this up in type, just like I've set up the heights of the type of love that you have with someone, your family, your children, but then the one that you prefer above all, your joint heir. See, I have heirs. My sons are my heirs, but I have one joint heir. That's my wife. What's mine is hers, and what hers is mine. Aren't you thankful that you see the truth? Aren't you thankful that it is the simplicity of the gospel of Christ? That's not complicated. It's not. But without the Holy Ghost, you can't even see that simplicity. You'll sit there and wonder about it. You'll sit there and wrestle with it. But yet it is right there and all over here. Amen? All right. So see, Jesus longed for us to be at this point in time, to have this love. This is how much and how divinely and how passionately Jesus wanted to have and be loved by a wife. It's the truth. Amen. See, again, if it was only salvation, that wonderful place that he took on the cross for us would have been finished at that time in a sense of no more. And it was finished in him. We understand that. But the much the more was just about to begin. Because the Holy Ghost, he's been with you, but he shall be in you. Oh, he's going to take the things, all the things of mine, and he's going to make them yours. Now, does Genesis 24 start jumping up off the page to you? That's the Isaac and Rebekah, you know, love deal there. The servant of the master been sent to find the bride for his son. And he has all the things with him to give to her. And he gives it to her immediately as she begins to hear the proposal. There wasn't any, think about that again. I don't know how long we're going to be here today, just sit tight. But you have to think about that and rejoice. There wasn't all of these, well, we got to check the boxes. You know, did you go to school here? And, you know, what are your parents like? Huh? The only requirement was, would she sit and hear the message? The only requirement, would you sit and hear the proposal? And the only requirement was to respond and say, I'll go. Isn't it awesome? See, that's grace. That's grace. He didn't get there and say, well, you know what? You're going to have to change this. Oh, my goodness, you look so bad. You know, you got to dress up for this deal. You notice he didn't say anything about her. It was everything about the bridegroom. Everything. And the only question was, will you take it? Will you go? Isn't it? It's beautiful. Oh, that's him. Praise God. So, we see. Oh, let her have fun. Amen, honey. And you keep having that wonderful fun. There's young Roe. There you go. That's young Roe Hart. Someday, I'm serious, all of us are going to run out of here and go downstairs. Huh? Used to embarrass you. Now you're more thankful than anything, aren't you, son? That you not a mom, but you had a sister in the Lord that wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm growing into that. Praise God. You are too. Praise the Lord. But see, there must be maturity. There must be knowledge. And then there is the capacity to fall in love. Has to be. You have to grow up. You have to have this encouragement of this bridal love to be the bride for Jesus. Hallelujah. I just think, my goodness, Lord, it's grace beyond my wildest dreams. But then you have to think of how sweet our Lord is. It was the chief of sinner, Paul, that was given this message to just get it over with right now. If you thought you were too unworthy to receive the bridal message, I just chose the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. He was killing people that loved me. You know, there's some bad dudes in this world today that are doing a lot of horrible things. But Paul stepped forth and said, nope, I'm the chief. I went after every minister of the Lord Jesus that I could find. I had their heads. I threw them in prison. I was going to destroy the truth. I was going to make sure it couldn't come forth. And God said, that's my man. And let me tell you something. He wasn't on no mission of goodness when God testified to him. He was on a mission, and I'm confident he was going to get all them disciples. He was going to round them all up, and he was going to have all their heads just at that time. And God said, that's the mission I'm going to work with. And God met him, and he said, oh, Paul, why persecute me? And the grace of God, it just took over. Amen? So we got no excuse, do we? Praise God. So see, we'll wrap this up now. A sweet sister, and I mentioned this earlier, she reminded me how sometimes we get a little bit more caught up in being and falling in love with being the bride than falling in love with the bridegroom. You know what I'm saying. Falling in love with the dress. Falling in love with the wedding feast. When all it's about is loving the bridegroom. Not magnifying how I look or how I feel. Not magnifying even the race course or all the trials in it. But magnifying that it's all about His grace. It's all about His grace that is with me. So I could be with the bridegroom. And it was sweet because He showed me this. He showed all of those that were here paying attention when sweet Jessica got married to Jesse. First time I ever saw, literally, in my life, a bride run to the altar. They have pictures and movies of it, but she ran down this aisle. She wasn't caring about everybody looking at her. And I've kind of seen that before. She didn't care about how pretty her dress was. And I've seen that before. She didn't even care about soaking up the moment. She was all about the bridegroom and being married to Him. And you know what, brothers and sisters? That's the true lover. That's the sincere worshiper. That it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. And always remember this. Everybody's got to be doing something. You know that saying. And there are. But she's not worried about that. The treasure of His love is worth more than anything. She no longer makes Him wait until she is ready. I love that. I've had Him wait until I was ready. Thought that, you know, I'm pretty something. Lord, we'll get to this when I'm ready. No. She doesn't even boast anymore that the beloved is mine because it's all about Him. She comes to the point that it's all about I and my beloved's. Isn't that beautiful that she sang that song today? God knew I needed a double portion coming back. That I am all His and only His. And His desire, His love, His passion, His ravished heart is toward me. Is toward me. Is toward me. I'm His. I am His. And His desire is toward me. Praise God.
Trying to prepare you for a place to be as close to me for all the eternities to come. I just want you to come. I love you so much. I want you to marry me.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. While every head is bowed, Lord, we thank you again for your great love wherewith we are loved. Thank you again that you've enlightened our eyes to see such great salvation. Help us not to neglect it. Lord, every life here this morning you're dealing with. You're here. We're here for a purpose for you. We thank you again for the provision and the great love wherewith we are loved. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.